Welcome to the But You're Wrong podcast. I'm Greg DiNicola.
I'm Keith Padilla.
Make sure you check us out every Wednesday, every Saturday on iTunes and Stitcher Radio.
Be sure to check out But You're Wrong Facebook page, facebook.com/ButYou'reWrong. Please give us a like on there and follow us on Twitter at BYW Podcast.
And on YouTube at youtube.com/BYW Podcast. If you like Keith, make sure you check him out on the Amazon Kindle Marketplace. We now join the But You're Wrong podcast, already in progress. Hello, everyone. This is a, I don't want to call it a special edition of But You're Wrong, but me and Keith were hampered this week because of a blackout, because some jerk-off, we think, hit a telephone pole. Chris, is that...
Either somebody hit it or he just fucking fell down. I assume that it got hit. Because it was raining, but it wasn't terribly windy.
Someone either hit a telephone pole or the pole just decided that it was going to bed and it went to sleep in the middle of the road.
You know, when it was Quincy, it probably just gave up.
I'm done. It just decided that it was done and it went to bed. So, me and Keith were not able to record, so we wanted to do... I needed to do something. Because, God help me, what am I going to do on my own? So luckily...
45-minute monologue.
So Chris decided that he would be kind enough to join me in a shortened edition of But You're Wrong. And we'll discuss a couple things. We were thinking... I don't think Keith's seen the movie yet. If you have, I'm a little sorry, but I'm not that sorry. Sorry, I just touched your leg there.
Yeah, you did. It's close. It's close quarters.
I know. And so we're going to discuss X-Men Days of Future Past, which we both saw, was it opening night?
Yeah, it was.
And so this is like a week or so ago. We're going to discuss that because it's still topical, you know.
because, a lot of comic book that came out in the 80s.
Yeah, well, exactly. So, Chris, your first impressions on Days of Future Past.
I'll go into my reasons. I enjoyed it, but I didn't have that much fun watching it. Not that it was a bad movie. It was very well done. It wasn't your summer popcorn, like, just sit there and lose your mind. It wasn't Captain America, the last one, which was just a fucking blast.
Yes, the last Captain America was incredible. I'll say this, to start it all out. Overall, I did enjoy the movie. I thought, maybe even more so than enjoying it, I thought that it was good.
Yes.
I thought that it was well done, and I thought, I really did enjoy the way that they did the past and future scenes.
Yeah.
I was a little scared, because whenever you bring time travel into any sort of movie, you get into the Terminator situation.
The alternate 1985.
Yeah, well, it's, yeah, exactly, alternate 1985. Is John, how the hell would John Connor know this? It becomes this whole thing, you know...
What you're saying is John Connor handpicked his dad to go back in time, and that's the question.
Yeah, why would? Yeah, exactly. He handpicked his father to go back in time to fuck his mom.
Right. It's a what came first, the chicken or the egg type situation.
It's strange, but they actually avoided that.
The troubles.
They avoided that very well. All right, FYI, spoiler alert, we're going to ruin the movie right now. So if you haven't seen it and you want to see it, shut the fucking thing off, go see the movie, come back, turn it, you know, if you really want to listen to it again. I don't blame you if you don't. But basically, the way they did it was they sent Wolverine's consciousness back in time to the 70s, or 60s, 70s,
yeah.
Because...
He needed to get an almanac from Biff.
so he could go back and put some money on the Cubbies.
Yeah.
But basically, what was their excuse? That because the way he regenerates, he could, his brain could...
Yeah, his brain, so...
Kitty, Go ahead.
Kitty Pryde was sending his conscience back in time, and now at no point in any comic do I ever remember Kitty Pryde having psychic abilities, and so that was swept under the rug, which brings me to another point we'll get to probably later about just things just half-assedly being swept under the rug.
Yeah.
So Kitty Pryde sends his conscience back in time, and she can't do it that far back. But because his mind reheals, that's the plot point that they used.
Yeah, they say
to get
that
Hugh Jackman in the movie for more than what he actually was in the books, I guess.
Right, exactly. So they can put him in for, well, he was in the entire movie, basically.
Yeah. He put the band back together.
He did. He really did.
He was the Elwood of fucking Days of Future Past.
Which, I guess, would bring me to my first complaint, and you and I have discussed this at length already, where as good as it is, and as good as the story of getting the X-Men back together can be, because it is, it's cool, how many times have we seen it now?
Right, that's the thing, is that in every single film, it's either been X-Men versus X-Men, X-Men versus mutants, or X-Men versus humans, non-mutants. And so we've done that in X1, we did it in X2, we did it in X3, Wolverine kind of touched upon it a bit, and so every fucking movie, and now the X-Men have been around since, I'm going to say the 1960s, probably, I don't know the day off the top of my head.
The X-Men as a group, yes.
As a group. Fact of the matter is, there's more villains than just the three fucking things that they just keep pumping out, and that's fine, I get it, you need to touch upon the mutants not being liked by the humans, but at this point I've seen it many times, and in the third act Magneto picks up something heavy and does something with it.
Right, and you know what, I get it to the point, especially to where you have Bryan Singer as the director, and as a gay man I think the X-Men
struggles with
it. Absolutely, and I get it that the X-Men speaks to him probably more so than almost any other group of superheroes, where it is, he is the quote-unquote freak fighting against the normal people, whatever, right. You know. And it's about his struggles with them. And I completely get that, and that's an important story to tell. However, how many times can we do that until it becomes too much? And I feel like I'm right at the point where it's too much.
Yeah, I mean, if this came, and I mean, this is what their whole fucking reason about doing this anyway, is if this was X3, I probably would have been okay with it, but it wasn't. And no. They did it to fix how shitty X3 was, but at the same time, too, I'm like, I've already seen this movie. I know, I get it. Yeah. They don't like them.
Get me
a villain.
Right. The humans are afraid of the mutants. The mutants want to fight back, especially... Well, and here comes the other plot point that gets overdone ad nauseum, is Magneto breaking away from the other X-Men, wanting to be his own man, and wanting to stand up and fight, which is great. Magneto's awesome. I mean, he might be my favorite of all the mutants. Yeah. I'm not sure. But how many times is the plot of the movie going to be the exact same?
Right.
Whereas, okay, they work together. All right, they get the band back together. Oh, wait, at the last second, Magneto decides he's going to...
Fuck you guys.
He's going to double-cross everyone.
Right.
And go after the humans. Fine. Like, it's a good story. But again, we've done it before.
I think my comparison was, if every Rocky movie, Rocky just fought Apollo, by the third one I'd be like, all right, we get it, it's right. Apollo, let's move on.
Yeah, I mean, give us Clubber Lang, please. Yeah. Fuck it.
Ivan Drago.
I mean, give me Tommy the Machine Gun at this point. All right, that's a little bit of an exaggeration. I don't want it like that. I don't want it that bad. But the fact of the matter is as good of a movie as it was, and you know, I actually really liked the future scenes.
They were well done, and then the best part was is that they actually brought back all the old actors. I can't think of any film that has had such a large cast you know, over so many years to actually have them come back. So that was fucking great.
I mean, it was actually, you know, not that, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say Halle Berry's my favorite actress ever, but it was very nice to see her back as Storm.
Yes.
And,
it was nice to see Ian McKellen, not a corpse, because he's really fucking close. He was leaning up on a lot of objects.
He looked bad. Yeah. He looked really old.
Luckily, movie magic.
Luckily this is a film and not a speech, out in the open. And I a lot of the scenes, in the future, it was the future still, gave me a very Terminator 2 feel, to the whole time travel thing.
Like that scene where the skeletons are coming in and they're stepping on the skulls. Yeah, like, it was pretty much
he's
like
running through the burnt out building, Central Park, which was now like a prison camp in a burnt out Manhattan, and it was very cool looking.
It was very much Judgment Day.
Yes, it was very T2. I thought that was very well done, and I was the whole future. It kind of scared me a little bit the way they were going to do it, but it worked out.
Same with the Sentinels, because they've been trying to do them since the third movie, and even that was just like oh, they're in the war room, fucking, and everyone got kind of pissed about that. But the way they did it with the 1960s ones looked like the ones from the fucking 1990s cartoon. They were like stupid and big and purple.
Yeah.
And then it was like the future ones. It's like they were more like the T-1000.
Right.
Like
they were streamlined and they adapted to their environment. Their powers were cool.
The thing is, if you haven't seen it yet, is why would you listen to this far in if you haven't seen it?
I mean,
whatever.
I mean, I don't even know why you listen this far in anyways, but
they adapt to the mutant's powers. So if you have an ice power, they can adapt to that and then use fire against you, and you know, whatever
right,
the fucking case
exactly.
may be.
It was very well done. Basically, our gripe, it's our gripe, and I don't know if Keith shares this, but unfortunately, Keith couldn't be with us tonight. But really, it's very good, and I would recommend to any X-Men fan to go see it. It's just not anything new, It's so predictable, like you said. You talk about Magneto, you know, well, he turns against the other mutants, and he picks up something heavy. And this time he picked up RFK Stadium and dropped it around the White House. Was it cool? It was actually very cool.
But at the same time, he had total control of the Sentinels at that point, so he didn't really have to
do that. Yes, he didn't, because I also found it strange. If you've seen the movie, you'll know what I mean. How he took control of the Sentinels. How he... What did he use? Railroad ties?
I'm not gonna lie. I completely forget what the fuck he did. He put metal in them somehow.
He used metal from railroad tracks, split it up, and then put it in the Sentinels like they were almost like veins. And then he could control them?
Yeah, because of metal. Because they didn't have any metal in them before.
Right, because they were trying to combat him.
Right.
But, also, yeah, that, he, I that, that that was a little beyond the realm of belief.
But by this point, we were also introduced to the fact that Magneto may or may not have assassinated
JFK. Yeah, so, right. Oh, exactly, yeah. The magic bullet. That gets explained in the movie. If you're wondering whatever happened to JFK, other than the fact that he's dead. Speaking of Magneto and what he did between First Class and this movie is he was imprisoned underneath the Pentagon, which. All right, whatever. I mean,
which is for a plot point.
It's
no reason.
It's perfect plot point underneath the Pentagon. It's cool, but the best sequence of the entire film, which I thought was bringing Quicksilver into it and having them help Magneto escape capture.
It was the best special effects scene of the film. Honestly, if they were just like, here's 8 minutes, it's Magneto getting out of the fucking prison. It would have looked great, which is good too, because Quicksilver looked like such a fucking douchebag with all the pictures that came up before the movie. And I was like, oh, he's going to be cheesy, he's going to be a piece of shit, it's going to be...
He looked like a douchebag, and that was actually... That was one of the things I remember seeing about the movie, and you know...
Because it was the Entertainment Tonight cover that came out. Right. Entertainment Tonight.
All right, Entertainment Weekly.
Entertainment Tonight.
Entertainment Tonight. So... That was one of the things that, and you can back me up, that I was very, very skeptical about this movie.
Salt and pepper hair and the fucking Pink Floyd t-shirt.
I was not feeling this movie before it came out. And I'm a big, I love the X-Men. I love almost everything Marvel's done. But I was very skeptical about this. And that was one of the, I saw that and I was like... This has got to be fucking stupid.
Yeah, and he really came through as the best plot device in the film.
He really did. And that's not to say... And that is not saying that the rest of it was bad.
No.
It's not saying, oh, well, this is good and the rest of it was shit. It was... The rest of the movie was good and he was awesome.
Right.
The entire escape that he got Magneto out. And the little allusion to him being... Magneto's son
was dropped.
Was also it was cool how they did it. But it was nice that they did
little
it.
Little tongue in cheek action.
Yeah, exactly.
Because of all obviously the fucking rights issues between them and Fox.
Right. They also I don't know if this was a rights thing, but I don't think they ever said the name Quicksilver.
No, they didn't. Just like in the Avengers where Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch are gonna be in it, they're not gonna refer to them as mutants. I don't know what they're going
to
do.
They think Fox owns the rights to the term mutants.
It's fucking retarded.
Right. It's just like in the droid commercials, how they have to put a little disclaimer at the bottom.
This is not R2-D2.
Saying that Lucasfilm owns the rights to the word droid.
Good for him, I guess.
Ridiculous. I guess Walt owns that now.
Apparently, yeah.
Him and his worm farm.
Frozen fucking head.
I guess so.
So my biggest issue with the film, and it's the overall X-Men thing, in a sense, and it was really down to the correction of X-Men 3. At the end of X-Men 3, Charles Xavier dies, and he's like evaporated by the Phoenix.
Yeah.
So then his conscience goes into the comatose dude, I don't know if it's his son. I know he's a character in the comics. I can't remember who.
It's
never explained how he gets his body back. I get that his conscience comes back. I'm sure he's a psychic. Shit happens.
Yeah.
I'll use my fucking imagination. But the fact of the matter is that at the end of the Wolverine, Magneto meets Wolverine at the airport with Charles Xavier, full body. Everything's cool.
Yeah.
And then he's just like, we have something to do. And that's how Wolverine ended. But I always felt like Wolverine was like present day. And then Days of Future Past. It seemed like it picked up right up after Wolverine. But it was probably decades later. Because he had the fucking salt and pepper hair Wolverine did. So yeah, I mean...
And you got to admit... I mean, the whole war against the mutants happened and all that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you got to... I got to figure it's had to have been 20 years.
Right. So that was my only issue, was like they just kind of like swept it under the rug, and they were like, we could explain it, but fuck you, he's here, you know, we got Patrick Stewart, he's in the fucking chair,
he's back, floating around. And they had him in the floating chair, which was badass. Even though, like I said, all this technology, and they can't figure out how to make this fucking guy walk.
You know, one would think it would be, you know what I don't understand? He's a fucking psychic. Just use your mind to move your fucking legs.
Well, yeah. I mean, not only is he a psychic, but he has powers to control.
He can make fly through the air.
He can control other people, can he?
Yes.
But he can't control his own fucking legs. Yeah. It's absurd. what are you going to do? I know... And me and Keith do this all the time. We get on a movie, even a movie that we liked, and... We beat it to shit, even when we liked it. So at this point, you're probably thinking, well, these guys, all they liked was Quicksilver, and they hated the rest of the movie. Well, that's really not true. I actually enjoyed it a lot, and anyone who's even a slight X-Men fan, I would definitely recommend seeing it. What I would say, though, is that I personally enjoyed First Class more.
Yeah, it was more fun.
It was more fun.
It was a popcorn flick. I had to sit down and just have a fucking good time watching it.
Right.
Even though that had a lot of fucking issues too.
I mean, no doubt. It had quite a bit of issues itself. But it was more fun. I felt that. And you know what? You could say the same thing. You could say, yeah, you know, they got the gang back together, and then Magneto turned on them, and all. True.
That happened.
But it was at least one movie before.
Right. And you know what it had? There was Nazis in it, and they were hunting them down, killing them. And I feel like most of the time, anytime the movie has Nazis...
You're hunting down Nazis. That's a good thing.
Raiders of the Lost Ark. Nazis.
Good.
Last Crusade. Nazis.
Good.
Temple of Doom. No Nazis.
No Nazis.
There you go.
Crystal Skull. No Nazis. Yeah, instead you got, what's her face, though? What's her name?
I don't know.
You know, the Kate Blanchett.
Cunty McCunster.
Yeah, Cunty McCunster. with the haircut. Might as well have been played by a dude at that point.
Yeah, and she had those mind-controlling devices.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't want to talk about Crystal Skull.
You don't want to get into the whole interdimensional beings thing?
No, I don't.
You sure?
No, because then it's going to go about the new kid that's going to fucking play Indiana Jones. And if we're going to talk about that, we might as well talk about the non-Harrison Ford Han Solo movie that they're making. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I know. I don't even really want to think about it. Okay, if you had to have someone play Han Solo in the non-Harrison Ford Han Solo movie, who would it be?
What's his face from fucking Drive?
Gosling.
Amen, brother. Gosling.
Ryan Gosling. Putting a stamp on it right now. Ryan Gosling as Han Solo.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Another fucking Notebook.
Right. The Notebook. I still have yet to see the Notebook.
It's not good. You know what? I've never seen that, actually. I was thinking about that Christmas movie.
I don't even know what you're talking about. I'm sure it's stupid.
It's not good.
I have had at least 3 to 4, no, probably more, women in my life tell me, we need to watch The Notebook.
All right.
I love The Notebook. We're going to watch
Lindsay Rich. Her name is Lindsay Rich.
Well, that was one of them. But no, every time I've gotten out of it, I've never actually watched The Notebook. I don't know how I've done it.
Motherfucking Rockford's in it, too.
Rockford Files?
Yeah.
Is he really?
He's the old guy.
Wow. I have a feeling I'm actually about to see it fairly soon.
Oh, no.
I know. But
what was it? It was just like, oh, we watch your movies. You should always watch
it. It was more of a...
That fucking card?
No, it was actually because I expressed my love for Ryan Gosling. And then here we go. It's gonna be Notebook time. And you know what? At least it's got. I will take a chick flick if it's got Gosling over a chick flick with not Gosling.
I suppose, because then you're gonna get fucking Grant there, Notting Hill.
Hugh Grant. I will take a movie with Ryan Gosling any day over Hugh Grant.
That's true.
He's garbage. But
talking about comics, weren't we?
That being said,
You know what bothered the shit out of me? Let's go back to X-Men for a second.
Let's get back on topic.
Sidebar.
Yeah.
Over. So at the end of X-Men Days of Future Past, Wolverine gets some rebar shot into him with Magneto and then dropped in a river.
It was kind of gruesome.
It was kind of fucked up, so it was kind of cool.
Yeah.
So he's just drowning because he can't get these rebar out of his body.
He's in the Potomac.
And so then the climax of the film happens and Wolverine is underwater. And at the very end, young Stryker is pulling him up out of the water. So we met young Stryker earlier in the film and you saw him this whole time Wolverine's got his bone claws, not the metal ones, because the Weapon X stuff hasn't happened yet. So then at the end of the movie, Stryker's pulling him out of the water, which I'm like, oh, that's where this happened. So that totally makes sense. So the apocalypse doesn't happen. Stryker gets Wolverine, Weapon X happens, and then the Dallas ending we'll get to in a minute, too.
Oh, yeah.
So, but then Stryker's eyes glow yellow, which means that it's not Stryker. It's Mystique.
Yeah, it's Mystique.
So why would you do that? Just leave it as Stryker, because Stryker saw him earlier and was just like, I want that fucking guy because he has healing powers and bone claws. He's my Weapon X that I've been looking for.
Right.
So why make it Mystique? Just fucking do it. Adamantium claws. Fucking close that book. Close it.
It's almost as if Bryan Singer saw or knew that we're going back, they're changing history by going back in time and altering things and sending, you know, and making Mystique, and I'm making them all aware of what the future is going to happen, that he could just do anything.
Yeah.
That he could just, oh, well, we'll take Stryker out of this and just plant Mystique in, and it won't make a big difference. It makes no sense to me. Why would they bother doing that?
I don't know.
And I always felt like Bryan Singer actually was pretty faithful to the comics. I felt like he kind of knew what he was talking about.
Yeah, yeah. It was weird. And I forgot about it, and this guy at my work brought it up, and I was like, you know what? I kind of forgot about that. That doesn't make any sense.
So,
it's a little weird.
Yeah, no, that's a bit troubling.
And then the ending itself, so climax happens. It was glorious. And
it's good.
We went, so Logan wakes up, and is no longer in alternate 1985. He is in the new Biff's waxing my car, and my dad wrote a book, and my mother's not an alcoholic. He's in that timeline. So he wakes up very Dallas-like, and he doesn't know what's going on.
Yep.
And
Patrick
then,
Duffy getting out of the shower.
Yeah. And he turns around, and there's motherfucking Jean Grey. She's alive. And he starts macking on Jean Grey, and boom, Cyclops.
Cyclops shows up.
So
the douche in the flesh.
So they got the band back together, and then they got the second band back together, and then fucking Kelsey Grammer comes walking down the hallway.
Yep.
Everyone was there, you know, even fucking, not Jubilee. Jubilee? Nope.
No.
Rogue.
It was like, you know what it was like? It reminded me of the end of Titanic, when the old lady dies, and she goes, her soul goes back to the Titanic, and she goes through that door, and everyone on the Titanic was standing there, and they're all applauding her coming back and meeting up with Leo again.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about? Everyone that died, everyone that should be they're all back, and they're all like, you know what? Welcome. Welcome, Wolverine. It was like the same scene.
Or it's like The Shining. Wolverine was...
okay.
Wolverine was... He was always the caretaker.
He was always... right. He was always the caretaker of Professor X's...
School
for the Gifted. He's always been there, and... Delbert Grady was just a...
Right.
Placeholder.
And here's the other thing that bothered me, now that we're talking about that. At the beginning of the film, they said, Logan, we're going to send you back, and we're going to have you do our dirty work, because you can heal. Now, if you are successful with this, everything will go as planned, but you are the only person that's going to remember this. Nobody else is going to remember this except for you.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the film, he wakes up, Brian Duffy, in the shower.
Patrick
Duffy. Who's Brian Duffy? Fuck it.
Wasn't that the guy that directed Boondock Saints?
Yes.
Patrick Duffy in the shower. Hi, honey. Go
and
on.
And then Xavier rolls up from behind his desk and he goes, oh, you're back.
Yeah.
Marty, you're back.
Yeah,
you're back from the future.
It begins, Marty.
And although earlier in the film, Xavier said, now, Logan, you're the only one who's going to remember this. Later in the film, he's like, except for me, I'm going to remember it too, so we can tie this fucking thing together.
Right, right. So that you're not the only one that seems fucking crazy. Now, granted, I guess he's got psychic abilities.
Right. But if you made it a plot point, just don't make it a plot point.
Why even bring it up? Say it?
Right.
Why even? All right. Again, you're probably sitting here right now and you're saying these two guys hated this fucking movie. They didn't hate the movie.
No, it's pretty good.
They actually liked it. They've been bitching for the last 25 minutes, probably. But they actually did like it. But long story short, if you have any love for superheroes, if you have any love for X-Men, I would suggest going out and seeing it before it's out of theaters, because it was very good. Speaking of which, I thought that the 3D was done very well. I'm not a big 3D guy when it comes to movies.
Oh, I usually hate it.
I usually do too, but I thought that it was one of those situations where the 3D is best when you don't really notice it. And yeah. You really didn't. It wasn't...
It was more like a depth of field thing.
Yeah. Like it wasn't like...
People coming in your face.
Right, like, yeah, and, yeah. You know, like sticking their fingers in your
right.
dick and stuff. Yeah. I mean... so, no, that was good too. But I would definitely suggest seeing it. I enjoyed it a lot. Just thought the first class was a little more fun.
Yeah.
But, well, listen, I appreciate you listening. It's not a normal episode, but I think we, did pretty well. I'm Greg DiNicola.
I'm Chris Bertone.
And, remember, everyone, no regrets, and if you're going to send someone back in time, make it Wolverine. His brain doesn't hurt.